Welcome to the Connections Podcast, a podcast devoted to how Unitarian Universalists of San Mateo connect to our beloved community. I'm Jack Brennan, Connections at UUSM. Today's podcast is brought to you by the facilities team. The facilities team can always use more hands and more brains. Consider volunteering. Our guest today is James May. James was born in Fort Worth, Texas in 1950. He grew up in various parts of West Texas, ending up in Midland High School. Go Bulldogs. Following graduation, he went to Texas Tech and got a Bachelor of Science in Mechanical Engineering. He spent most of his career designing equipment used to drill oil wells. He has several patents. He retired in 2020. He and his wife, and I really cannot say enough about how dazzling, enthralling, and indispensable his wife is, and their two beagles, Thelma and Louise, moved to Pacifica in 2022 and started attending UUSM, where they found their circle of friends. James came to activism later in his life, and we will talk more about that in a few minutes. James, welcome to the Connections Podcast. It's nice to be able to sit down and talk to you. You've quickly become a fix-it guy around UUSM, as well as the main coffee maker on Sundays, and we'll talk about both of those things in a few minutes. But you were born in Texas, grew up there, and never lived anywhere else until 2022. What was the best part of growing up in Texas?
I guess the best part of growing up in Texas is a large part of my childhood I spent in a very small town, 235 people. Oh. And we had a lot of freedom just to do things, to hunt and fish and fool around as kids, play ball. And it was just a good place to grow up.
At what age did you start working for money?
I got my first job when I was 9 years old. Wes Bomer ran a gas station there, and he wanted to go over to San Angelo to see his grandkids one Saturday, so he hired me. Got 25 cents, I think, for running the gas station all day while he went to San Angelo.
But 25 cents back then really meant something. That was like 25 cents.
Oh, yeah. That was five candy bars, you know. Big candy bars, not the little ones.
So what did you do when you worked for him all day? You pumped gas for people when they came in to get gas?
Yeah. Pump gas, and that was basically it. We didn't clean windows or any of that stuff.
But you ran the store?
He had a cooler with Cokes and drink sodas in it. And then a little counter with some candy. Okay. So there was a little bit of other transactions going on. But yeah, took their money, paid change.
I'll never get over that, 9 years old. And at what age did you start driving?
I was 14, I guess. Took driver's ed, and the seventh grade, or the football coach, taught the class, and he would read stuff and grade papers while I drove him around in the morning for 30 minutes before school. And I got my driver's license then.
When you were 14? Back then you only had to be 14?
Well, I think we told him we were a hardship case and I needed to, something special.
Those hardship licenses were pretty easy to come by. So that's when you got your license, but did you actually start driving before that?
Not enough to comment on. Okay.
All right.
Probably the first time I drove, I was six or seven, and I sat in my dad's lap, and there were ruts in the road out in front of the house, and after a rain when the ground was soft, we got out in the car and went back and forth and flattened out all the ruts. That was probably the first time I steered. I couldn't reach the pedals.
No. Oh, man. What made you decide to go into engineering after high school?
Well, I think it was my dad's input over the years. He had an engineering mind. If he could have managed to go to college, he probably would have been an engineer.
Mm.
Anyway, just growing up from that, I couldn't see any other field that would interest me.
Mm.
So I went that way. Had a lot of tribulations about what kind of engineer to be. But why? Mechanical seemed to suit me the best.
Right. Okay. What about mechanical? How did that suit you better than any other kind of engineer?
I didn't think I was smart enough to be an electrical engineer. So...
All right.
But I knew mechanical engineers figured out how strong things needed to be and how to carry the loads. And I figured I could do that.
I don't know where you got the idea that you weren't smart enough to do anything, because the very first thing your mother ever told me about you was that you're a genius.
Mother was kind of partial to me.
Oh, really?
I wouldn't take as gospel her what she told you.
So while you were in college, becoming a mechanical engineer, you had a medical crisis, didn't you?
Well, yeah. I had a little tumor come up, and it was my junior year. And they removed the tumor, and then they found out it was Hodgkin's disease. The doctor there in Lubbock said, "Can you get to Houston?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, I want you to go to MD Anderson down there and let them follow up on it." I did. I have an uncle that lived in Houston, so we called Uncle Walter and asked if he could house me and get me to the hospital. And he said, "Yeah." So I went down there and stayed with them for most of the spring. First trips were in January and treatments in April. They did some exploratory surgeries trying to stage me, and I finally gave me a month of radiation treatment. Mm-hmm. We called it cobalt treatments back then, because right. They had a big machine and they just laid you on a table and uncovered a cobalt isotope for a few minutes. And
what could go wrong?
Yeah.
A lot, but it took a long time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
At the time, it fixed your Hodgkin's.
Yeah, it fixed the Hodgkin's, and it wasn't until 2012 that I had any indication of a recurrence. So they did a good job.
They did. Did you miss a semester of college over that?
Yeah, I laid out the spring semester. And then I was going to try to go to summer school and make it up, so I'd have an easy path to graduation in December. But in the summer, that I couldn't get in any classes that would fit my program.
Yeah.
So I worked through the summer and then went back to the fall and graduated the next spring.
Okay. What made you decide to go into the oil business?
Well, I got out of college in 1974, and NASA had just pretty much shut down. They were scaling back and starting the shuttle program. They had a ton of engineers coming out of NASA, and it was difficult to find a job. A lot of the guys that graduated the semester before me didn't find one.
Yeah.
And did other things for 6 months or a year before they actually got an engineering job. But I was lucky enough to get on with M.W. Kellogg. That's the K in KBR now. Mm-hmm. I worked with teams that designed ammonia plants. And we designed several, and I worked there 5 years. And then that really wasn't what I wanted to do. I was sitting behind a desk all day. And apart from a couple of trips, I sat behind a desk in the office at Houston and didn't get to touch or feel or smell anything I'd built. So I started looking around, and I found a company in the drilling business that needed somebody that could design drilling equipment. So I went to work for them.
And then you just kept on in the oil business for the rest of your career?
Yes, everything else I did in my career was in the oil business.
Right.
From there on out. And I did a variety of things, you know, kind of R&D jobs, field jobs, had a lot of variety. Was a good career.
Cool. Tell our listeners about your family, however you define that word.
Well, my family started out with two boys and grew to daughter-in-laws and then grandchildren. And then I met Jack and picked up several more kids and then more grandkids. And so my family just grew and grew and grew. And now I kind of feel like it includes a lot of UUSM. Feels like family. I think family can be a very broad thing. It's not just people directly related to you.
Yep.
In a conventional sense.
Tell our listeners about your political activism, especially as it relates to common sense gun laws and voter suppression.
In Texas, we have volunteer deputy voter registrars. I worked at that to try to increase voter participation there in Houston. And with the gun control or common sense gun laws really is what got me started. As kind of an activist, I jumped in my truck when the March for Our Lives group put on the march in Washington, D.C. and drove up and went to that. It was quite an experience being in a crowd with 100,000 or so people and all of them thinking like you do. Since then, I've done some other things. Back in Houston, I aided with the Moms Demand Action. We had monthly meetings there, and then they aided in and helped sponsor a lot of rallies down at the courthouse and that kind of thing. One time I even wasted a day and went to the Texas legislature. They were going to pass a law that anybody can carry a gun with no permit, no license, no training. And the Moms Demand Action emailed us all and said, can you be there and can you say something? So I went and said something. It was a total waste of time. It was kind of a waste of a day. I drove to Austin, but when I got there, at that time the Republicans were in control of the Texas legislature, completely both houses. And we had a few Democrats there, but they didn't get listened to very much. In spite of the fact of public polling, you know, saying that 78% of the population of Texas didn't want this bill to be passed, the Republicans there in the legislature were listening to their NRA sponsors and the other gun liberty group, the One America, I think. It was quite a show. They had their hand-picked speakers were given 5 minutes apiece to present their opinions about what should be done, and then everyone else was given a minute. So we sat and listened to all of the hand-picked speakers. All were, in one way or another, supportive of the proposed law. And about 90% of the people that got 1 minute were like me and had something to say against it. But it was quite an experience going and see actually how the Texas legislature's run. And it was eye-opening how it actually ran.
Yeah.
You know, that law was passed before they had one person speak, you know.
Right.
It didn't matter. Wouldn't have mattered what we'd have said, what would have happened, what would have been done. The deal was already cut, and it was a waste of time to go talk about it. So I went back home more determined than ever to try to get people elected to local and state offices that had a brain, I guess. Might be the best way to put it.
What brought you to California after 72 years in Texas?
Well, one day Jack said, if Kendra buys us a house, would you move to California? It took me about 30 seconds to mull it over.
I'm not even sure it was that long.
And I said, sure.
I think you said, when can we move?
Yeah.
You know, that turned out to be quite a long time before we did. But yeah.
Yes, it wasn't an immediate deal, but no. It did eventually happen.
Yeah. So what do you love about living here?
I love the climate. We don't have the heat and the sultry summers. It is a little cold, but I can cover up and tolerate that. It's drier than where we were in Houston. Not as dry as West Texas, but drier. And I guess the thing I like it best is just the beauty of the mountains and the ocean. And the scenery. Every time I come down the hill coming into Pacifica from San Mateo, I'm just amazed at how beautiful it is.
Yeah. When you first came to UUSM, what did you think about it?
The first few meetings, we were just reopening in the summer. There weren't very many people there, but they seemed very welcoming and friendly. And quickly I got to like the people and feel like this was an organization I wanted to participate in. And then got involved with the facilities group and got to where I felt like I was contributing something. Then, of course, Sunday morning connections hour requires making a lot of coffee and just a lot of kitchen work. And Jack pretty much steered me in that direction.
Yes, I did.
But it's become a place I'm happy to be a part of. I love the people. I love the good they're trying to do in the world. And I'm glad to be a part of it.
Was there a moment when you thought, oh, this is where I belong?
Probably the first time I made coffee on Sunday morning.
Okay. You mentioned you're on the facilities team right now. What do you enjoy about that?
Just fixing, repairing things gives me a lot of, you know, personal pleasure. And there's always plenty of things there that need a little fix-up, you know.
What kind of things do you like to do in your spare time?
In my spare time, mostly I try to figure out little projects to do with my 3D printer.
You love your 3D printer.
It's a lot of fun just trying to figure out how to. First of all, you got to build a mathematical model of it on a modeling software. And then you've got to overcome the physical limitations of the 3D printer to actually get it fabricated. Then you usually figure out, after you got the first one built, that, oh, if I'd have done something different, it would work better. So you wind up doing it again.
Yes.
And it's just a lot of fun.
Okay, we're going to wrap this up with a segment called Quick Hitters.
Okay.
I'll ask you a quick question. You'll give me an answer. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. What's the best flavor of ice cream?
Americone Dream.
Americone Dream. It's Ben and Jerry's. It's definitely the best flavor of ice cream. What's the scariest nightmare?
The scariest nightmares I've ever had, I think, were brought on after watching The Little Nightmare on Elm Street. That was the scariest movie I ever saw, and I think I did have several nightmares.
Oh, man.
Freddy Krueger was after me.
What's the best sandwich?
Bacon and heirloom tomato.
Mm.
Miracle Whip and white bread.
Okay, let's make it as healthy as possible.
Yes, absolutely.
Most used app on your iPhone?
Oh, Maps.
Maps, okay. What's the best song of all time?
The best song of all time. I love a lot of what Annie Lennox did with the Eurythmics.
Okay.
I can't think of one in particular.
Okay.
But almost everything she did in the early years, I really enjoyed.
What's your favorite other podcast besides this one, which I know is your favorite?
Besides this one?
Yes.
You mean besides?
Yeah, so basically your second favorite.
My second favorite podcast is The Daily.
The Daily. Yeah. Agreed. Best movie of all time?
Cannery Row.
Huh?
Yeah. Nick Nolte.
All right.
Deborah Winger. Lots of old jazz and blues, piano and trumpet.
What's the best car you ever owned?
Best car I ever owned was probably a Toyota Camry hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first car I ever had that had a lot of the premium features.
Oh, right, right.
It had the backup camera and things that I'd never had before.
Right.
I just wouldn't myself to spend the money to get the premium model.
What's the best beverage, alcoholic or not?
River City Root Beer.
River City Root Beer. All right.
Second best is the St. Arnold's Brewery in Houston makes root beer.
Okay.
I'd say that's my second best.
Your house is on fire. All the people and animals are safely out. You have time to go back in to grab one more thing. What are you grabbing?
My 3D printer.
Of course. Of course you're grabbing your 3D printer. What is the best advice you ever got?
The best advice I ever got was my dad told me that if I would go to college and get an engineering degree, I could spend my career sitting in the Plymouth, the big white Plymouth, with air conditioner running and wearing a Stetson hat and a suit, and watch the guys digging the ditch out there, make sure they were doing it right. My dad lied to me. I never did get to sit in that Plymouth or wear a Stetson hat. I was mostly out with the guys, working shoulder to shoulder with them, getting things done.
Last question. What's the best religion?
Unitarian Universalist.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right. I agree with you on that. Thanks, James. I really do appreciate you taking the time to talk to me for the UUSM Connections podcast. I hope we can get together and talk again soon. How about meeting me for dinner tonight?
Oh, okay. You buy it?
You're so funny. Many thanks, as always, to our listeners. Keep making connections.